Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz, where we put God, family, and country first and challenge the woke cancel culture one episode at a time. Now, please welcome the host of the show, Drake Wirtz, and Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz. This is episode number 30, the big 30. It is also the third day of Rad Mania 4. I am here with my co-host, my favorite politician from the state of Florida, the one and only Drake Wirtz. What's up, bud? I had to pop you right off the bat.
Yeah, for sure. Episode 30. What a milestone. This is a milestone for the Uncancelled podcast. And I am honored and privileged that I am your second most favorite politician from Florida. I'm your first?
No, you're over DeSantis, brother. You're
good. Really? Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now let me ask you this. President Trump lives in Florida too. I mean, am I still
yes,
still number one?
You're still number one.
Wow, I am over like Rover with Rad Rob. That's I appreciate right. that so much, man. Right. I am grateful to be here for another week, and it's Rad Mania.
It is Rad Mania, the fourth annual Rad Mania. 4 years I've been doing this. It's time is flying by. But seven days of shows leading up until this weekend's WrestleMania, which I'll be doing post-game wrap-up shows for night one and two. If I don't do enough already, Drake, I'm doing Rad Mania. It's
bonus episodes, huh?
It's a labor of love. Yeah, it is. So tonight we are talking about Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper from WrestleMania 8. I have a couple videos to play before we start about Roddy Piper talking about the match and then Bret Hart talking about it. But I want to talk to you first because you were live in attendance at WrestleMania 8. How old were you when this happened?
I was 7 years old.
Seven years old.
This was at the old Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It later became the RCA Dome, and then it became a parking lot. But it was a very, very cool arena, a stadium,
yeah.
If you will. And if I remember correctly, yeah, WrestleMania 8, this is where they went back to a stadium for a couple, you know, for WrestleMania 6, they were in a giant stadium, yep. And then WrestleMania 7, it was supposed to be in the Los Angeles Coliseum.
Yep.
Gulf War was going on. There were security threats, and so they had to move it to a smaller arena. And so now they were back into a big giant stadium. I want to say it might have been 62 or 67,000. I'm sure you can pull up the official attendance, but it was in the 60,000s. And I just remember being so excited because I got those tickets for Christmas mm-hmm. of 1991. Yeah, it's actually quite traditional for in my household that my stocking stuffer would be wrestling tickets for whenever WCW or WWF would be coming to town, you know, within the following spring. And so I was just absolutely thrilled to go to WrestleMania. You know, it was my first one that I attended, and little did I know someday I would be a part of WrestleMania. So it's pretty cool.
That is weird. And I talked to, you know, Chad Lale, our friend Gunner, about the same thing where, you know, growing up a wrestling fan, he said he made a vow to never, ever attend a WrestleMania until he was actually in the company. And that's as a kid. So wow. Lo and behold, it actually happened. But You, 7 years old. I don't know any 7 year old kids that went to WrestleMania. I was like 20 before I went to my first
one. I mean, we were up in the nosebleeds, but it was just, it was really, really cool. I mean, there's still memories that, you know, when you're a kid, there's just certain, you don't remember day to day or, you know, hour by hour activities in your life, but there's just certain moments from your childhood that stick out to you that you carry on into your adulthood. And, you know, I can remember hearing the Road Warriors music, you know, start and just feeling ramped up by that, or seeing the blood come down Brett or Ric Flair's hair, you know, or just being excited, you know, totally shocked when the Ultimate Warrior returned. And you know, there was just, and even watching El Matador and Shawn Michaels, I thought that was cool as a 7 year old. So there's so many memories from that night that just kind of stick out with me.
You were there for the return of the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, that is just, that's a moment, that's a WrestleMania moment that most people that watch it will never ever forget. Because obviously,
or some have forgotten about.
Yes. He left at SummerSlam after SummerSlam 91, supposedly holding up Vince McMahon for more money. Not sure if that was ever proven or not, but to make a surprise comeback at WrestleMania 8 in 92, and before the internet, nobody knew this was going to happen. When you heard that music, man, like, do you just remember the feeling you felt?
Jubilation. Absolute jubilation. Because, you know, our hero Hulk Hogan was being beat down by Sid Justice and Papa Shango.
That's right.
Dude, I'm sure we might get into it a little bit, but a lot of people don't realize Papa Shango's heel run in 1992. Dude, as a little kid, I'd never been more terrified.
Right.
Than of Papa Shango and you know, he was terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely scary. You know, I think there could have been more from that. Now that I'm thinking about it, like the Papa Shango character, I think it had more weight to it.
I agree, and I don't know why it got derailed, and I'm sure he did a shoot interview over the time to say what happened, but it was good. Like the weird, mysterious black ooze that came down from Warrior's face after he put a curse on him, it was just...
He set an enhancement guy's boots on fire.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and remember, like, the Jake and Undertaker stuff was fantastic that year, too.
Yeah.
The build up to that, you know, with Jake taking the Undertaker or taking the Warrior to the dark side and the Undertaker kind of helping it. And then, you know, we see a babyface Undertaker for the first time at a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, dude, I'm jealous that you were there. That's one of my all-time favorite WrestleManias. I've probably watched it 100 times, dude.
And just the look and the atmosphere, it kind of, you know, you can see montages of different WrestleManias. And you know, sometimes you can see just from the site what stadium it was.
Yep.
You know, Indianapolis is one of those.
Yeah.
In my hometown and you could, you know, the Hoosier Dome was unmistakable. It's where the Indianapolis Colts played for many, many years. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was really a special evening. It was an event, a happening, and you know, Indianapolis is a pretty good market for pro wrestling, but it's not like a huge regular stop. You know what I mean? It's not like Chicago where they go there four times a year. I mean, but it was really cool to have a WrestleMania there. I hope they do it again there sometime.
And when you're billing a double main event as big as Savage and Flair and Hogan and Sid and what could be Hulk Hogan's farewell match, the event sells itself. Isn't it weird?
That was rare, too, going into that. That was rare, too, to have have them advertise just that specific verbiage, a double main event. April 5th, 1992, you know, I'll never forget. It had the poster and what stuck out to me, the big graphics with the bomb outlining, the dynamite outlining on it that said double main event, you know, Ric Flair versus Randy Macho Man Savage, Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice, Ric Flair, the doctored photos and the,
good.
Can we say WWF on here? Or are we going
to get, no, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The doctored photos in the WWF magazine.
We don't work there. What the hell do we care?
Oh yeah, that's right. For 7 years, I'm used to not saying the F, but yeah, the doctored photos in the WWF magazine of Ric Flair and Elizabeth. Oh man, classic stuff.
Such good buildup. Really, and Flair was just the perfect character to play against Macho Man.
Lust in his eyes.
I love it. All right. So I do have a couple of videos to play of just what Brett and what Roddy and Brett thought about the match. So here we go.
for him to put you over?
I think so. It was a big sign of respect that he reached down and kind of pulled me up and did me a favor that day. He could have, he wouldn't have done that, I don't think, for very many guys, but he wanted to, I think he thought maybe that this was a good time for him to sort of, in his own way, kind of pass a torch back to somebody, and he kind of picked me. I think it was a big honor for me to know. And I was never quite sure what was going to happen at WrestleMania. I saw Roddy as a huge draw and a bigger star than I was, and I didn't, even though I was in my clear understanding I would win the belt back at WrestleMania 8. At the same time, you know, I just figured they'd come up that day and go, we've got a change of plans.
So what about that, man? Like, Piper didn't ever really do the job for anybody, quite honestly. No. And he never, he might be the only superstar in history that had, like, the least amount of pinfalls against him. Like, he never did the job. He wouldn't do the job to Hogan early on. So him getting pinned by Bret Hart clean says a lot about his respect for Bret, because obviously they go way back. They're both from Canada. They kind of came up, you know, along the same route together. But that was a big, big thing for Piper to put over Bret Hart.
100%. I don't think Piper did a job for, like, it was like 15 years straight or something. Maybe he didn't do a clean job. Yep. Like, he would take count outs or, you know, disqualifications or whatever. It was a big deal. And at that time, and if you see the pictures and watch the footage, Roddy Piper's best condition in his whole entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just ripped, shredded, diced, needle and thread cut. Like, and then and he was tanned up, looked great. Bret was in the prime of his prime. Well, I don't even think Bret had hit his prime yet.
Not really.
I think Bret's prime was like 96, 97.
Agreed.
I mean, it was just a perfect timing for those two icons in our industry to go to have a marquee matchup. And again, we've mentioned it here before on the program, the Intercontinental Championship. It's the workhorse title. It's the guys that can have the work rate that's going to carry the show. Yes, up in your top tier main event, you're going to have the larger than life stars that might sell the tickets, but to get the noise going, to get the people up, and to keep them in the arena, it's going to be the Intercontinental title, and it's going to be those workhorses that are having those matches.
Absolutely agree with that. Let's hear what Roddy Piper thought about the match.
Sure.
Memories of your match with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8 for the IC title.
Bret, I love Bret. I guess the way the story goes, he's related to me.
Is there truth to that, or is it?
Yeah, well, I'll just tell you exactly what I know is I was born in a place called Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And I just moved a lot as a kid. And Stu Hart used to run Saskatoon, and they used to take the train. And one day Bret Hart came to me and said, "Do you know there's nobody in the world that could have known that that person was my uncle? Because I kept my stuff to myself." And Stu was a cousin to whoever that person was, my uncle. So a cousin to my uncle. So, you know, whatever it was, it turned out because Bret is such a wonderful guy, which is cuz became, so whatever that may be. And I remember Bret coming in Toronto, I'll get to that match in Toronto, the very first appearance, I think it was against a guy named the Spoiler, a real jerk off, man. And Bret was just white, and trunks, and, you know, Maple Leaf Garden, and the Spoiler did this thing to him. He locks up with him, and Spoiler goes back to the ropes. He hooks Bret's foot before the ref comes, pushes him, Bret lands on his ass again. And I'm watching poor Bret comes back from the thing. He's kind of saying like, "Come on, right. Next time this asshole does that to you." And Bret and I just hit it off. And then when that story came around, it came time for me to move on. And if you're going to pass the torch, I can't think of anybody better than Bret Hart. As far as the match, we said hello for about 10 minutes, and that was it. The one thing that has always just been out there that people wanted to know. As the match went along, he started bleeding, Brett. And I can tell you, I didn't lose that match, but I'll tell you. And that got a lot of heat with the office. And the office actually, after the match, came up to Bret Hart and said, did Piper pressure you into bleeding? Did you see any? No. That wasn't any time. So because they were deaths on that at that time. But they had a shot, a bulldog in their high camera. And when Bret hit, there's a huge puddle of blood there. And on the finish, I put the sleeper on him, and he kicks back, and boom. The reason I did that was just in case. But technically, you should have raised his hands before you counted my shoulders. However, we never went into an angle, so I didn't need to use it. On the other hand, the match itself was a match for two guys that have wrestled a lot, and there wasn't a lot of talking to be done. And if I was ever supposed to pass the torch, I felt that was there. And he's out. Oh, man, you beat me.
Good old Roddy still working. He never really beat me. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Always, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Always the worker.
Good last day, still working.
Yes.
You know, I got a sidebar for a moment. A very cool interaction that I had with Roddy Piper. This was 2012. Mm-hmm. I was really starting to come up as an independent wrestler, and I was getting ready to move to California to go full-time into pro wrestling. But on the side, just to have some extra income, I was driving a shuttle at an airport hotel in Indianapolis. Okay, so that was my side gig, picking folks up from the airport, taking them to the hotel. It was at the Wyndham Hotel at mm-hmm. the Indianapolis International Airport. And the Days of the Dead Festival was at that hotel. And Roddy Piper, being a star from They Live and just being a huge actor, he was at that event. And the next day, he needed a ride to the airport, and I was, man, absolutely jumping at the bit to take him there. I was like, yes, sir, here, I'll take you, Mr. Piper. And so, whole time, the 4 minutes or whatever it was to the airport, I'm white-knuckled driving. And then I finally get the guts to let him know that I'm in the business. And then he goes, oh, you're – and then he just opens up, and he starts talking to me, and he starts just giving me advice. And I told him, hey – sir, I just want to let you know, I was at WrestleMania 8, and it's the match that made me want to get into the business. And I just want to thank you for the beautiful match that you had that night with Brett. I truly think it's one of the greatest of all time. And thank you for all you've done for our business and for sacrificing your body and time away from your family so that guys like me can hopefully make a living in this industry. I really appreciate it. And he thought a whole lot of that. We got out of the car, and I grabbed his luggage and gave it to him. And then he grabbed a $50 bill out of his wallet, and he put it in my shirt pocket. That's a good tip. Yeah, that's a real good tip for taking somebody to the airport. So he grabbed that $50 bill and he put it in my shirt pocket. And then dude, it was so cool. We're right there on the sidewalk of the airport, and he goes, hey, listen to me, son. All right, you and me right now, we're locked eyes to eyes. There's a packed, jammed arena in here, 60,000 people. We haven't talked about nothing before the match. You look at me, and we're going to look. And then it was crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, he was looking right at me, and then he almost, locked up with me right there. With me. And then he told me something that really, really stuck with me for many years. He said, people are going to have their ways to go about this business, and people are going to give you a lot of advice. He goes, just at the end of the day, when you're in the ring, he said, just wrestle with your heart. Give all of your heart whenever you're there in the ring. He said, no matter whether there's 50 people or 5,000 people, wrestle with your heart and give it everything you got. And during that, those very important years for me, at 2012, 2013, as I was really hitting my stride and starting to get a lot of buzz on the independent scene, those words just really rung true to me. Wrestle with your heart. And that's what I did each and every time that I went out in front of the crowd.
Dude, that's so cool. I mean, that's something you can never, ever forget. And being able to share your story of getting into business because of him, and being there, that's, dude, you can't ask for a better, ending. Yeah,
totally,
that.
Man. It was real. And like I said, self-admittedly, he was not my favorite wrestler. Brett, for a time, Brett was my favorite, but But that match, it was just the perfect storm of me being there and being a young and impressionable 7-year-old. And I got to give a huge debt of gratitude to my father, my dad, Randy Wirtz, who you know, did all he could to get those tickets. You know, WrestleMania tickets are not easy to get. And in 1982, they weren't any easier than they are now. actually, they were harder because you couldn't just order them by a credit card online. You had to go to the box office. You had to go to the Kroger or to the Ticketmaster outlet or whatever it was. You had to actually go fit. It's like pay-per-view back in the day. You had to actually go to the cable company and get a special hookup. And, I mean, people don't realize how much you had to go through to – to be a part of a big event back in the day. But my dad, he just really went out on a limb and worked tirelessly many, many nights into the late hours, whether it was doing bouncing and security or he, you know, in a similar business in rock and roll, he played a lot of gigs and, you know, my dad really went above and beyond to make sure that, no matter what, when wrestling was in town, that I had a ticket to go. And then whenever I told him that I wanted to be a wrestler, like, he worked really hard to give me my first pair of kick pads, my first pair of tights, and I would have never gotten anywhere had it not been for my dad.
Speaking of Mr. Wirtz, Old Ranch sent me a friend request on Facebook, so we're now Facebook.
He did.
We're now Facebook friends.
All right. So. Well, you have to send him this clip.
I definitely will. All right, so if you guys want to watch along with us, we're on Peacock. The timestamp is 37:24. We're going to watch the promo before the match with Mean Gene, Roddy Piper, and Bret Hart. So again, WrestleMania 8 on Peacock or WWE Network. We're at 37:24. I'll give you guys a countdown, 3, 2, 1. When I say 1, we will hit play. You ready to go, brother?
Yes.
All right, let me pull it up here for you so you can see it. There we go. And we will start it in 3, 2, 1, play. Were you guys able to hear this promo during the event, or did that?
I can't remember.
I don't think they did that back then.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'm hungry.
Oh.
God, he was so good.
Wow. How gangster was that?
That was.
He reached into under his championship. Listen to me. I'm on WWE'd out. He reached under his title belt, and he grabbed the leather strap and just flexed it back on him. Look at the early 90s hair in the crowd.
Yes, it was definitely a different time.
Oh, man.
Definitely a different time. Man, that place.
Yeah, they had alcohol sponsors all over Budweiser and Winston. Winston cigarettes and Budweiser.
Yeah, you can't do the cigarettes anymore. Dude, that place is huge. Like, did it feel like just ginormous when you were there as a kid?
It was so big when I was there.
Yeah.
So it was so huge. Yes. Especially as a young 7 year old.
What are the odds that two iconic stadiums like that, like, you know, WrestleMania 3 with the Superdome or the Silver Dome, and now here, just two buildings just gone. It's sad.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to love Bobby and Gorilla during this whole event, too. I mean, just tremendous. Oh, yeah,
the best. One of, if not the greatest duos. You know, next to King and JR.
Yeah.
You know, they're just incredible. They really gelled well off of each other.
Yeah, I mean,
wow, look at those old 1980s wrestling dolls. the large rubber LJNs.
I had those. Look at the determination and just the look on Piper's face. He's focused. He's ready to fight. I love just the facials going into this.
Builds the intensity of the match.
Absolutely. You know, you got the old, and this is a babyface versus babyface match, which you really didn't see much of that during this time.
Yep. The only other one that I can remember is Hogan versus Warrior a couple years ago.
Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Of course, he had just won the Intercontinental title from the Mountie on a Saturday Night's main event, I believe.
I want to say it might have been the Royal Rumble.
It might, yeah.
Earlier that year.
Maybe he had a return match and he defended it. I just remember him having like a shockproof like vest on when Mountie tried to get him. Yeah, man, he is cut. Wonder what made him want to get into that kind of shape. You know what I mean? Like he'd been around for quite a while. This is not. I would say
he was stocky, but he was just absolutely ripped here. It must have been just WrestleMania shape, or you know, he maybe a movie that he had prior. Who knows?
Yeah.
As a local Cincinnati referee, Roger Ruffin was not a full time referee.
Roger Ruffin. I like how he's going over the rules. You really don't even see that anymore. Nice face to face. You know, we never really saw even 10, 15, 20-minute matches out of Piper before either. Like, he wasn't known for being a mat wrestler. He was known for being a brawler and just kind of, you know, beating people in 5-6 minutes. Never really had a true finish. But this was probably the longest match of his career to this point. God, I love a solid, you know, collar double tie-up. Like, nothing starts off the match.
Really sets the tone for a match. It's like two bowls colliding.
Agreed.
Well, old school arm drag by Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of took.
I mean, it's so crazy seeing Winston cigarettes sponsorship.
Yeah.
Remember Winston Cup Racing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course, in Indianapolis, it's a big racing town.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how they're just kind of feeling each other out. God, just two pros, man.
And this is before, like, there was a lot of signs in the audience. I mean, you just look at the difference of the surroundings as opposed to nowadays, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Obviously, it's a big production here still, but it's not quite as dressed up. Like nowadays, a lot of that stuff up there at the top, it would be draped out or blacked out, and you know what I mean. It's a big production, but it's certainly compared to today's WrestleManias, it's a lot more dressed down. I mean, they got their normal entrance, their normal 1992 entrance with the neon lights and everything.
Love that. That's what
it's just. Look at that! He got right back in, took the shove, and then spat at him. Ooh. No more disrespectful thing that you can do than spit at another man.
That's right.
Look at Piper's anger. And look, the expression in his face is that telling the story right there.
Another thing you don't see much anymore is just old school test of strength, yeah. Of course, you're not allowed to say, you know, who's more manly anymore. That's just not a thing anymore. But this is two men just trying to see who's the alpha two male. Men.
Yeah.
Speaking of grown men, I know we're not talking about politics today, but the Governor DeSantis signed the anti-sexual grooming bill today in Florida.
Excellent. That's good news. That's really good news.
Oh, look at that. Oh.
Ooh.
Nice big chop right to the throat.
A little stiff there.
So this was the last WrestleMania that it was just Bobby and Gorilla. The next year, Jim Ross came to the fold.
Correct. And then after the year after that, it was Vince and the King,
I believe. Yeah. So, yeah, the WrestleMania 9, Caesar's Palace, I want to say it was Jim Ross, Macho Man, maybe...
and Bobby.
Maybe, yeah, Bobby. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you into this? I mean, were you really into this match as a kid? Like, just sitting on every single move?
Yes, big time. Awesome. Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, Bret Hart was my guy.
Yeah.
You know, I like 90% of the other kids that were raised in the 80s. I mean, Hogan was my guy for a while. But this is where 92 is where I really started to fall in love with Bret. You know what I mean? And just kind of get more enamored with the meat and potatoes of the match rather than the character. Oh, look at this. This is called Bret with the shoulder injury. Oh, bro. Piper calling for a timeout.
That's a heel move, man. Playing possum like that.
Yep. Classic Bret Hart.
Ooh, nice slap. I love how they just, it's almost like Rocket.
Slapped him like Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
God, can you believe that stupid stuff? You know, this kind of reminds me of Rock and Hogan, where they just, both guys just kind of turn heel and face back and forth during the match and really just change roles. Just a masterclass in wrestling. I was waiting for the leapfrog, but Roddy probably couldn't do that. That's a cool spot.
Yes.
That's a really cool spot. That looks like a hurt, too. That looked like a hurt. I never done any research to find out like why Bret bladed, and I know they got, like Piper said, they got in trouble for it, but I wonder, obviously that was his own call.
He wanted to just add to the match, add a little more drama to the match.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think Ric Flair had the same idea in the main event. They both got juice against company policy. Yeah. Okay. Nowadays, we'd never get away with going to do that because there's so many cameras. They would get caught. You know, Bret was like notorious for getting juice when it wasn't allowed. He did it in Your House 95 against Bulldog. Yep. He did it against WrestleMania 13 against Stone Cold. Yep. I mean, yeah.
Oh, bam! See, now there you go.
Parts of the match. Just a left hand uppercut right to the jaw when a man's tying his shoes.
And just flip flop, like I said, just going. Yes. Baby face and heel back and forth, switching roles. Like, that's a prime example right there. Just, God, so smart. Just listening to the crowd. A lot of that just doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder if he got hard weighed there. Like, I really didn't pay attention to close enough to see if Bret actually bladed or not, but.
Sure. No, he zipped himself for sure. You don't get that. You don't get that much juice from the hardware.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then he did a great job at it because, you know, right there in the middle of the ring.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's total pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that puddle of blood he's talking about.
Yep. Hey, dude, red is green. That's what, you know, everyone says. Mm-hmm. You know, bleeding just, it's money. It just adds so much more intrigue to the match.
Oh, now he's biting him.
You don't see a good bite anymore. Yeah, you know, I watch a lot of clips of AEW and a lot of stuff that gets botched there. And, you know, you see so many, and they do blade jobs way too much on Dynamite. Like, just for no reason. Like, the cold match.
Do they?
Oh, they do.
On TV, they do?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. But, there's an account called AEW Botches on Twitter, and they show all the stuff that just goes wrong. And there's been multiple blade jobs to where the camera just clearly picks up the referee handing it to him or taking it back.
Oh,
or,
no.
Or gigging in the middle of the ring with the camera right on him. It's just,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
It is a... It is an art form unto itself.
It is.
Is inconspicuously getting the gaff, as they call it.
Yeah. So crisp.
Yeah, Piper's a lefty.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I love about Bret Hart is he always prided himself on making everything look snug. But never really injuring anybody. And that's hard right. to do over, 25, 30-year career.
Yes.
He was an artist, man. He was probably the cleanest guy I've ever watched. And so smooth.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, on top of his game, in the schedule that he kept, you know what I mean, from that marathon schedule of the 80s to then going into the mid-90s, you know, where he's doing all these 20, 30-minute matches 6 nights a week.
Yep. Especially when he's
the champion. When he was the champion.
When he's the champion. Yeah, dude. He was all
traveling all around the world.
That's right. I was going to say that, yeah. Yep.
You know, staying in shape. And then, you know, this is going to sound weird to people that aren't wrestling fans, but I think if you're watching this particular episode, you're definitely a wrestling fan. But I think in, like, 1997, Bret, maybe, like, one of the best – like, if you think of pro wrestler – like you think of 1997 Bret Hart, like he was just in such, he was great shape, tanned up, crisp, could talk his butt off. Had, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it gets any better than 97 Bret.
Plus the whole anti-American thing was so good. And then going to Canada and being a hero, it was just so weird to see. Like,
it's this is classic. Leaving the tiptoes at the top of the rope. Bam.
I love his reverse atomic drop there. Just, God, he's so good. His snap suplex, I think it was better than Dynamite Kid's, which obviously he stole it from. Russian leg sweep.
Oh, yeah. Russian, yeah.
He had the whole, you know, five moves of doom like Cena and everybody else. Ooh, he really is.
Yeah,
he really is bleeding. Side backbreaker into the second rope elbow.
Elbow, yep. And see what sets it apart is he's selling the blood. A lot of guys, yes. they'll get color and then they don't sell that they're bleeding. Like it should be debilitating to you that you're suffering from blood loss.
Right.
And you should register that. Not just getting the blood and you're like, rah! You know, there's a time and a place for the fighting spirit, so to speak, but
right.
You should still be registering that you're bleeding buckets. Yeah.
Ooh, cuts them off.
Great count.
I mean, you obviously have shed a lot of blood in your career.
Time or two.
Were there times where, you know, you cut too deep and you were bleeding a little too much?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, out of fear of passing out?
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to be a scary feeling, right?
I remember, like, specifically, there was a match I had against Brain Damage at the ECW Arena, and I just totally, I started getting weak in the knees and, like, felt like I was, ref bump.
Nice ref bump.
I felt like I was going to throw up. Like, yeah. It was that bad. Yeah. Where we had to, and I had so much blood that the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission got word that we had 2 minutes to go home or they were going to fine the promoter $500.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So it was that bad.
How long
did it take? Going to the big blue steps, Rad Rob.
Dude, I love those steps, man.
Yes.
I love the whole thing, the red, white, and blue ropes. Like, I miss this time, man. I do.
Oh, no. He's got the bell.
I love Bobby's call. Well, when all else fails, what the hell? Use the bell.
Yeah. Go for it.
Waffle them.
what match did you watch with Riker?
We didn't watch a match. We just talked about you know him growing up as a kid, his first WrestleMania, which happened to be, you know, watching was 10. We just kind of went over the years about, you know, how big of a fan he was. And he thought Austin and Bret Hart was one of the best matches at WrestleMania 13. Yes. So yeah, we just kind of talked, you know, just shot the breeze about his favorite moments and what it was like to be part of it when he was in the company. Use it. Give it to me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I love Bobby.
He's the best.
It's funny though. Like, you know, Piper just showing a, you know, having a crisis of conscience there and not using the bell. And that's really what was his downfall right here as he going to the finish. Perfect timing by the ref to get up.
What a finish.
And that's the first time we ever really saw something. Like, there's no puddle of blood there, Roddy. Come on, man. You got pinned clean. God bless him. I miss Roddy.
What a classic.
Yes.
Anyway, it wasn't anything super innovative or super, you know what I mean? It was just good pro wrestling and a good usage of blood.
Yep.
Good story. There was a little bit of story, you know, the respect. And, yeah.
And just the psychology of the match, honestly. Just it was great. And also we saw that finish later on at Survivor Series 97, I believe. Bret Hart used it against Steve Austin. So
96, yep.
96, so he got away with it twice. Yeah, 97 was a screw job. That's right.
Yeah. Bret didn't do anything good that night.
He didn't.
He punched Vince in the jaw, though, or whatever. Yeah.
One of the few people to have.
Yes.
Well, at the shoot, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Nice show of respect after, you know, the hard-fought match here by putting the belt on him. Everything was just timed perfectly. Good sell job by the ref. You ever take any ref bumps when you're in NXT?
Oh, yeah, a bunch. I took a bunch in NXT. Yep.
Did you always powder to the outside, or you just...
There was one where Tommaso Ciampa and Aleister Black, I ended up getting knocked off the apron by Tommaso, and I took a bump on the concrete, actually.
Ooh,
like the pad was gone, so that was pretty good.
Oh, good thing you're a worker. You knew how to take it.
That was probably my favorite. So.
Yeah, so that was a great match to pick, man. Really glad you picked that. Really good to see it over again. It's been a while since I've seen it. And just the fact that you were there, that's so super cool, dude.
Yeah,
and,
man. They were just what's really inspired me to get into the business.
So as a worker, do you look at that match obviously differently, you know, knowing the ins and outs of the business as opposed to when you were a kid? Did you have a different opinion or any more respect for it years later once you had all the knowledge of being a worker?
Oh, 100%. Yes, even more so just because of how much work it takes to go into a good story in a professional wrestling match. And not only that, but just the build up. It was just masterful. Absolutely masterful. And then, you know, the usage of the blood too, to where it really added to it. Didn't take away from it. It wasn't unnecessary. Like it was just the right amount of juice. Yeah. Sometimes it could be too much, you know, right. For something that's small, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you ram a guy's head into the wall, and then all of a sudden, it's like a 9 on the Muda scale. It's like, yeah, it's not necessary. Like that, right. That wouldn't actually happen. You know what I mean? So it reminds me, first time I wrestled Sabu, because he's my hero, right?
Yeah.
He's my wrestling guy, and he stabbed me with his gimmick that he had in his boot.
Yeah.
And I come out, zip myself, and came up, and it's like down my chest and everything, and he grabbed me and he said, "Damn it, too much juice." And then he punched me again. But like, he was happy afterwards. But it's just like, what in what profession? Okay, let's take this into context.
Yeah.
All right. In what line of work, where we go? Okay, I'm going to blade for somebody that I look up to. I'm going to intentionally bleed out of a sign of respect for this man. But I'm going to really make sure that I bleed enough. So that way it's very impressive, but you bleed too much and he's mad that you bleed too much, but then he's still very happy with them. Like, what kind of crazy, if you say that to a normal civilian, they'll think you're insane.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's funny what you guys are allowed to get away with when it comes to entertainment. There's no other entertainment like it, to be quite honest.
Absolutely not.
Sabu, like, was he really as crazy as, you know, or just part of his gimmick?
He's awesome.
Yeah. So he wasn't,
back. One of the smartest people you ever meet.
That's what I figured. Yep. Yeah. And those guys that are his best know how to work it, whether you don't know if it's a work or a shoot, if they're legit crazy or just, you know, being a worker.
Exactly.
One thing I want to ask you, actually, Chad wanted me to ask you. I'll just throw it out there. And he mentioned on the show, he wanted me to ask you about your WrestleMania payday when you reffed the match with Ronda and Kurt.
He did.
Yeah. Were you satisfied with your payoff?
Oh yeah. Okay. Big time. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. But you know what's funny? Yeah, I was very satisfied. But you know what's funny? Like a couple of years later, when I reffed, a lot of people might not remember, but the WrestleMania that was in the Performance Center, you know, in 2020, in front of nobody, I reffed Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. It was really cool. So I reffed that match, and it was like 5 minutes, and, you know, nobody was there. It was, you know, at the training school. And I got almost twice as much money for that. Than I did for reffing Ronda Rousey and Triple H in front of, you know, I made more money being the bunny at my last WrestleMania than I did at that. So again, man, it's just I got the luck of the pie, the piece of the pie that you get, whatever. I was just absolutely thrilled, and you know, to get a good amount of money for it. That's icing on the cake. So, but no, yeah, I was happy. Heck yeah.
So he peeled back the curtain a little bit and said the pay structure kind of changed at one point and everybody kind of
tell me what Chad thought.
It's almost like,
was he not happy with his Mania payday?
Well, he said it's almost like waiters and waitresses having to share tips. Like all the gate goes into one big fund and they kind of they have to pull it from there. So yeah, he said
it gets divvied out from where you're at on the card.
Yeah,
from my understanding.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So, yeah. And same thing with. I think with referees, sometimes it's, you know, if you're in the main event, you get a Mania, you get a little more. And again, I don't even know. You know what I mean? There's no really rhyme or reason. I mean, just, you know, the top dogs are going to take a huge chunk of the pie, they should. But yeah, there's some times where you're like, oh man, this is going to be sweet. And then it's like, this is okay. And then there's some times where you're like, yeah, this is just going to be okay. And then you're like, whoa, where'd those extra zeros come from?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no, like, really rhyme or reason as far as the structure is concerned. But, yeah, I mean, as a referee, there wasn't too much I could ever complain about.
Of course. Yeah, it's just funny that you got a bigger payoff with no gate whatsoever.
Zero gate.
Yeah, strange.
Zero gate.
Strange.
I mean, like, double.
Yeah,
like double what I made.
I mean, good for you. I mean, that's fantastic that you're blessed with that money. And
that WrestleMania at the Performance Center was 11 miles from my house, and no real setup or anything like that. No travel. I mean, it was like I went to work there every day as is. It was almost like, it's like, okay, I'm going to like my workplace today, but we're going to film we're going to pre-tape a WrestleMania match. You know what I mean? Like it was someday we'll really, someday we should do a deep dive into the few months of let's say March through August 2020.
Okay.
We should do a deep dive into that.
Yes.
That's a time, and I was there for each and every single production meetings, everything. I was really on the inside. Like, that is a time that a chapter of wrestling that will never be forgotten by those that were a part of it, and I was a part of it every day.
I would love to hear about that because, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
And it started with WrestleMania.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we haven't heard about, and not many people really want to talk about that because it's probably one of the worst times in the business. But, we definitely got to do that. We'll set up a time and date for that. So, good stuff, buddy. You got anything coming up here WrestleMania week?
Knocking doors.
Good. Good deal.
I'm going to go watch, I think, the Saturday WrestleMania with some volunteers from my campaign that are getting it. Sunday, look, we're hosting our biblical citizenship class here at our home. And then, I got to get out campaigning and everything. So yeah. I'll probably watch you know, the replay or the highlights. You know, I definitely want to watch WrestleMania. Saturday I'll go watch it.
What are you most looking forward to coming up? Any particular matches? Obviously the main event, Brock and Roman, but anything else that caught your attention?
Dude, I don't. I don't know a whole lot of the other matches. I know Brock and Roman. Yeah. Is it Ronda and Charlotte?
Yep, Ronda and Charlotte, Becky and Bianca Belair.
Seth Rollins, dude. I always love Seth Rollins' matches. What's he doing?
So Seth has been having this whole gimmick where he doesn't have a match. It's almost like the year that Cena didn't have a match, and he just kind of showed up in the crowd. So they've been kind of giving him last.
Oh, Seth versus Cody? Is that going to happen?
Supposedly. That's the big rumor. So they announced tonight on Raw, as we're recording this, that Vince McMahon will handpick his opponent on Saturday at WrestleMania. So, yeah, we're pretty much sure it's Cody. If it's not, if it's a big swerve, then they got us. But maybe he'll show up on Monday night. But, yeah, that's the rumored thing. So they had a couple last-chance matches for him to try to get in, and it's been a fantastic angle. Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn have knocked it out of the park. They've done really, really fun stuff, and Sami's such a player, dude. So he's such a pro. I love everything he does. The Mysterios and Logan Paul, I believe, have a program going on too. So there's a lot of celebrity involvement this year, which is good. It gets mainstream attention.
It's in L.A., right?
It is in...
Or Dallas.
Dallas, yeah, Dallas. And they sold about 65,000 seats per night. So it might not be a total sellout, but that's still a lot of people, and they may end up papering the rest of the crowd anyway, but... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's WrestleMania, dude. I mean, I don't care who's on the card. It's
exactly. Again, it's WrestleMania.
It's WrestleMania.
It's incredible.
Where can people find you, buddy?
They can find me at votedrake.com. Check out what's going on with the campaign. You can sign up for my email blast. And certainly, if you live in the United States, you can make a campaign contribution. Help in any way that you can. A recurring donation of $5, $10, $20. It helps our mission of getting our message out there and bringing true Christian conservative values to the State House of Tallahassee. So I'd appreciate your support there. You can find me on Facebook at Vote Drake Wirtz, on Instagram, Getter, the Friends Network, TFN.media, which is our friend Mike Lindell, at The Drake Wirtz. It's DrakeWuertz. And again, just grateful and blessed to be here. We got a primary election coming up in August. We were at the Taste of Oviedo this past weekend. I spoke at the Republican Party of Florida, the official party, had me come speak. So that was exciting. And what's unique about my campaign is, like, yes, obviously we're pushing back against the radical left, but we're holding the Republican Party accountable too. You know what I mean? We got to, because there's like we've talked about last week, there are too many spineless rhinos that have turned their back on our values. So we got to have true champions that are rising up. So I look to lead the charge here on that in Florida. So again, God bless you guys. Make sure you tune in and support every single one of the 932 podcasts that Rad Rob does. And you can also, I want to plug this, on Rumble, you can look up the Patriot Roundtable podcast. They have and they talked about our podcast as well. Look up the Patriot Roundtable. I was a guest on their latest episode.
I saw that. That's good. I have to check that out when I have time in between my 900 podcasts. So,
yes.
Great show, brother. Appreciate always being here, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. And we'll be talking about the newest WrestleMania.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Here on the Rad Rob Radio Network, in the video form on YouTube on my channel, Rad Rob Gaming. All right, guys, until then,
But for our audience, remember this as we depart: Christ is King, abortion is murder.
That's right.
There are only two genders, and the election was stolen. Have an incredible day. See. Oh, crap, we're going to get censored.
Can't get any more censored than we already are. So, see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Uncanceled with Drake Wirtz. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UncanceledPod. You can also send us an email at UncanceledPodcast@gmail.com. You've been listening to Uncanceled with Drake Wirtz right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.